been a lot going on today, and Lord, I pray that you would please help me to have the energy to be able to preach, Lord, the way that you would like me to. Help us not to spend more time here than we need to. Help us to be able to learn what we have set aside for tonight, to be encouraged, Lord, to be able to just walk away knowing that we've heard from you, we've learned something, we've met with you. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, like we've been talking about, tonight is going to be the last sermon in the series of Bible Boot Camp. And the purpose of the Bible Boot Camp series was really just to kind of remind you. Paul said, you know, it's good to be reminded of just the basic truths, the basic, you know, and you ought to never get to the place where you think, oh, I've heard that before. Because, you know, it's good for us to be reminded from God's Word. It's good for us to realize that some people have never heard the things that we've heard. And we've been going through and just hitting just the basics: salvation, eternal security, you know, church attendance, Bible reading, prayer. I mean, just the basic things that a Christian needs to learn. And as we kind of finish this series, I want to just explain to you, and I actually preached a very similar sermon to this. I don't remember when it was, but I know that we were still in the house. So it had to have been within the first year of our church existence. So, you know, two and a half years ago. So many of you weren't with us at that point. But I want to explain to you why our church is a Baptist church. And you got to understand, we are Baptist by conviction. We are not Baptist. We're not a Baptist church because, you know, I grew up Baptist. We're not a Baptist church because that just kind of happens to be the group that we got connected with. The reason that we are a Baptist church is because the word Baptist, the name Baptist, means something. And the word Baptist, and to say that you are a Baptist, that associates you with certain beliefs and certain distinctives. Now, please understand this. Not all Baptists are created equal. All right. I understand that there are Baptists that are liberal. There are Baptists that are bad. They, you know, just because you're a Baptist doesn't mean you're saved. We understand that. But our church is a Baptist church, and it's not by mistake. And today you got to understand, there are many churches that are Baptist, but they're dropping the name Baptist, and they're saying, you know, they're non-denominational, or they're just, you know, open to everybody. And it's kind of silly because all churches are open to everybody. You know, we don't stand at the door and say you're only allowed to come in if you're Baptist. Of course, churches are open to everyone. But the reason we have chosen the name Baptist and we take the name Baptist is because it identifies us. And there are certain Baptist distinctives, and there are certain things that our church believes that not a lot of churches believe. Now, they may say they do, but what people say and what people do are often two different things. And your actions speak louder than your words. And I just want to go through and give you a few of the Baptist distinctives, a few of the things that we believe, that Verity Baptist Church believe, and that we believe not only does the Bible teach them, but they make us Baptists. And I didn't come up with this. You know, I was taught this as a child, and I was taught this growing up. But there's actually people have came up with using the word Baptist as an actual acronym to be able to remember certain distinctives that we believe as a Baptist church. And the first thing I'd like you to know is that as a Baptist, we believe in the biblical authority of the Word of God. Somebody said this, you know, and they explained to me, you know you are a Baptist when the Bible is your boss. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you look at verse number 16, the Bible says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, notice, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And if you ask, you know, why do you say you're a Baptist? Why do you say you're a Baptist church? Or what does it mean to be a Baptist? Here's what it means. We believe that the Bible is our authority in all matters of faith and practice. And what that means is that it doesn't matter what tradition says. It doesn't matter what every other church is saying. It doesn't matter what other people do. All that matters is what the Word of God says. Now, you could walk into any church and ask the pastor, is the Bible the authority here? And every pastor will say, yes, it is. But if you look at what they do, here's why you got to understand. In most churches, the Bible doesn't matter. Here's what matters: what works. It doesn't matter what the Bible says about music, just what kind of music is going to bring in a crowd. It doesn't matter what the Bible says about how we have to preach, it's just what kind of preaching is going to be the least offensive. It doesn't matter, you know, that the Bible says soul winning, that the Bible says separation. You know, it's just what is going to be the thing that brings in the biggest crowd. And in most churches, what brings in the biggest crowd is really the authority, because they're only going to see, at Verity Baptist Church and at any Baptist church, you will always do what the Bible says, even if it means you lose people. Even if it means you don't attract the biggest crowd. Even if it means, because the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. So we ought to get our doctrine, we ought to get our patterns, we ought to get our methods from the Word of God. And that's what we're here to do. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Skip down, or go down to verse number 4. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and I know these are famous verses, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See, our job is to preach the Word, and our job is to preach the Word whether it's in season, whether it's out of season, whether it's popular, whether it's not. And see, you got to understand, at Verity Baptist Church, we will preach what the Bible says, whether it's popular or not. Today, it is not popular to take a public stand against the sodomite movement. Today, it's not popular to say that homosexuality is a sin. But the Bible says it's an abomination. The Bible says it is reprobate. The Bible says it's wrong. So we will preach that and we will teach that because that's what the Bible says. But see, most Christians will say, well, we follow what the Bible says. And then you say, well, what do you think about sodomites?
Well, we got to love them. They're welcomed in here. They're welcomed here, and we don't love the sin, but we love the sinner. And you can understand the Bible is very clear that it is an abomination. You know, abortion today. You know, you talk to most people, and they don't want to talk. Well, let's not talk about that today. And here's all I'm saying is, you are in a Baptist church when it teaches the Bible, whether it's popular or not. Biblical authority. So we got the word Baptist. You got your first word there, B. You say, what makes us a Baptist church? Biblical authority. Number two, what makes us a Baptist church? Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter number 1. What makes us a Baptist church is that we have biblical authority. Number 2, what makes us a Baptist church is the autonomy of the local church. The autonomy of the local church. In Ephesians, chapter number 1, in verse number 20, the Bible says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come. Look at verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things. Notice this. To the church. See, a Baptist church will acknowledge that Jesus, and I know we preached a whole sermon on this a few weeks ago, so I don't want to spend a lot of time in it, but a Baptist church, what makes a church a Baptist church, and by the way, we're an independent Baptist church because we believe in the autonomy of the local church. What that means is this, we believe that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So there is no denomination. You say, are you a Southern Baptist church? No, we're not a Southern Baptist church. Here's why. Because a Southern Baptist church doesn't have the congregation, doesn't have the spiritual leadership, and then Jesus Christ. A Southern Baptist church has the congregation, has the spiritual leadership, the deacons, the pastors, and then they'll have, a board of directors. Then they'll have a president. Then they'll have, a regional, a divisional leadership management guide that kind of tells them what to do. And see, what's wrong with these denominations is that they've got, and people, people often come to me and they say, well, don't you know if you were to join an organization or an association or a denomination, don't you know that they could fund you guys and they could buy you buildings and they could make you money? But listen, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And we ought not be motivated because, joining an organization would just help our ministry go further along. Because it would help us financially. That ought not be what motivates us. What motivates us is, number one, biblical authority. What does the Bible say? And the Bible says that Jesus is to be the head of the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. You're there in Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. So, Jesus is to be the head of the church. Now, we understand this. Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. Later on, it tells us the Word became flesh. So you say, how is it that Jesus is the head of Verity Baptist Church? Here's how Jesus is the head of Verity Baptist Church. He's the Word. So when we are led by God's Word, then we are led by Jesus Christ. And at Verity Baptist Church, you've got to understand this.
Pastor Jimenez does not lead, is not the head of this organization, Jesus Christ and the Word of God. See, as a pastor, I have to align myself, and I have to align my teaching, and I have to align my preaching to the Word of God. And sometimes people, you know, they'll say, oh, I don't want to go to that church because that pastor preaches sermons and I don't like, you know, hey, they're negative and they always make me feel bad. And you know, when people say it to me, what I like to tell them is, look, they make me feel bad. I don't like them. Okay? I wish, you know, I could just not mention anything. But the Bible is our authority. And if the Bible says it, then we got to preach it. So we believe in, number one, the biblical authority. Number two, the autonomy of the local church. Churches ought to be independent. Churches ought not be bunched together. Churches should not be part of an organization. They should not be part of a denomination. And by the way, all of that just leads into the ecumenical movement. All of that just leads into the one world religion. They want to unite everybody. It doesn't matter what doctrine is. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what religion. Let's just all get together. You know, Catholics, Baptists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Calvinists. Who cares what the Bible says? You know, Pentecostals. Let's just all get together, hold hands, sing kumbaya. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Bible should come first. So number one, biblical authority. Number two, the autonomy of the local church. Number three, priesthood of the believer. If you can get back to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I'll be honest with you. I'm going to try to go through the sermon as quickly as I can. Because I want to go home. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Like, you guys got out. I mean, this morning, I think I preached like 35 minutes. That's pretty good. That's like a record for me. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Don't get used to it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 5. The Bible says this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You say, what separates the Baptist church from other denominations? Here's one big thing that separates us. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. What that means is that I have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. See, I don't have to go to a priest to be able to communicate with God. I don't have to go to a man in a confessional booth and explain to him all my sins so that then he can tell me, you know, what to do and he can go between me and God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So I don't go to a priest, I don't go to a pope, I don't go to a pastor. And by the way, you don't have to come to me to get to God. You have access to God through Jesus Christ. If you are saved, you can go directly, the book of Hebrews tells us, you can go into the throne room of grace. And you can go to God on your own, the priest of the believer. You don't need another man. You don't need someone to go between you and them. You can just go directly to Jesus Christ. That's what. And you know, just in that, we've already separated ourselves from a lot of religions. Just not being in a denomination, we've already separated ourselves from a lot of different churches. Another thing that makes us a Baptist church, go to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. We believe in the biblical authority. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We believe in P, the priesthood of the believer. You can go to God on your own. You can go to God through Jesus Christ. You don't need a man. You don't need someone to forgive you of your sins. Jesus Christ will do that for you. You can go to Him on your own. But the next thing we believe is also, we got B, right? Biblical authority. A, autonomy of the local church. We have P, priesthood of the believer. So then we have the letter T. What does that stand for? Two ordinances. Two ordinances. You say, what are those ordinances? Those ordinances are this: baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, I've actually recently preached on both subjects, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But here's what you got to understand. As a Baptist church, we believe that these were given as ordinances. You say, what's an ordinance? It's a decree or a command. It is an order. We have been ordered to do it. But here's what we do not believe it is. It is not a sacrament. Okay, a sacrament is a religious act or a rite done in order to obtain salvation. There are those that believe, I must take the Lord's Supper, I must take communion, or I must be baptized in order to be saved. As a Baptist church, we don't believe you got to get baptized to be saved. We don't believe you got to take the Lord's Supper to be saved. We don't believe you have to do anything to be saved. You only have to do one thing: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But here's what the Bible teaches about baptism and both the Lord's Supper. Romans chapter number 6, look at verse number 3. Romans chapter number 6 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that," notice these words, "like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together," notice this, "in the likeness of his death, we shall be
also in
the likeness of his resurrection." Paul continually uses these phrases or these words when talking about baptism. He said it's like as Christ, or in the likeness of his death, or in the likeness of his resurrection. We believe that the ordinances are a memorial. It's something we do to remember. It reminds us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's like the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's not part of salvation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You're there in Romans, just turn one book over. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look at verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. In verse 23, and I just preached a whole sermon on the Lord's Supper not too long ago, but I just want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." Now notice what he says. "This do in remembrance of me." Do you see that? It's a memorial. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." You say, what do we believe as a Baptist church about baptism and the Lord's Supper? Here's what we believe. It's a memorial. It's a picture. It's the like as. It's something we have been ordered to do. But it is not a sacrament. You do not have to do it to be saved. You do not have to do it to be forgiven of your sins. It's not something we do to obtain salvation. It's something we do because we have salvation. That's what a Baptist church believes. So we believe in biblical authority. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. We believe in two ordinances. Letter I. If you go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. So we got B-A-P-T. The next letter is I. And that stands for, we believe in the inspiration and preservation of Scripture. We believe in the inspiration and preservation of Scripture. 2 Peter 1:21, and there's so many verses I could show you for any of these points, but I'm just throwing you a few just so you get the idea. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but," and here's how the Bible explains to us that we got God's Word. He says, "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We believe, and we read it in 1 Timothy earlier just in the sermon, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means that God actually breathed the words out, that they came out of the mouth of God Himself, and then the Holy Ghost would come upon men, and holy men of God, now notice, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You got to understand, because we get this idea that, you know, Paul was sitting there, and he was writing, and the Holy Spirit was like guiding his hand as he's writing, but the Bible says that these men actually spake the words. And yes, they eventually wrote them down, and we know that God made sure that they wrote them correctly. But the inspiration of Scripture is that the Holy Ghost spoke through these men the Word of God. And you got to understand, we do not only believe in the inspiration of Scripture. We do not only believe that the Bible came from God, that God verbally spoke the words, and that's what we have in our Bible. We also believe in the preservation of Scripture. Go to the book of Psalm. In the Old Testament, Psalms 12. Psalms 12. And see, this right here is going to separate you from a whole lot of other churches and religions. Because we not only, most people would not disagree with you. You know, do you believe that God gave us His Word through inspiration? And most people would say, oh yeah, the originals were inspired. But see, we don't just believe that the originals were inspired. We believe that God preserved His Word through the generations. And today, we believe that we have God's Word in our hands. Inspired and preserved. Psalm 12, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "These words of the Lord are pure words, that silver tried in the furnace of earth purified seven times. Now notice what it says. It says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So according to Psalm 12, whose job is it to keep and preserve God's Word? It's God's. It says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And today, you talk to people, and they'll say, oh yeah, we believe that the Bible was inspired. You know, in the original, it was inspired. But through the ages, as it was translated, men, you know, corrupted it, and men made mistakes. And now, today, we don't know that we have God's Word, and we kind of have the best thing that we could come up with, and we kind of, you know, think that this was maybe what it said, and this was maybe... But, my friend, you got to understand this. The Bible says that not only did God inspire His Word, which no one disagrees with, but the same Bible that says that God inspired it also says that God would preserve it. And why would God spend thousands of years giving us His Word through different men to just allow it to be destroyed one generation later when someone decides to translate it? That would be a waste of time. That would be a divine waste of time. So God, see here, you say, what makes us a Baptist church? We believe, when I pick up this King James Bible, I believe that these are God's words exactly how He meant for us to have them. They're not a closed translation. They're not a paraphrase. They're not the thoughts. They are the words. Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we need God's Word. And by the way, and you say, well, why is it that, you know, I go to these other churches and I go to these liberal churches and they've got all, you know, they've got the rock concert and they got the flashy lights and they got the lasers and they got, you know, this and that and they've got the little things that make the steam go up. We should get one of those here, you know. So can you imagine seeing the old hymns with the steam coming out? Amazing Grace. The lights are flashing, you know. You say, well, they got all this stuff. But here's what people often say to me. They say, like, all these churches, they got all these gadgets and all this stuff. They got these screens. But then the pastor gets up and just, like, just this weak, you know, almost like he's scared. Like, well, I think that the Bible might say that. But see, you understand, there's a reason for that. They don't really know that they have God's Word. He thinks that he maybe is telling you what God might have wanted us to know. But see, at a Baptist church, we say, no, this is God's Word. So we can stand up with authority and say, hey, thus saith the Lord God. This is what God has for us, and we know it's God's Word because God inspired it and God preserved it. So you say, what makes you different as a Baptist church? Number one, we believe in biblical authority. Number two, we believe in the autonomy of the local church. No one's bossing us around. Nobody's telling us what to do. Nobody's saying, you got to use this Bible, and you got to use this curriculum, and you got to believe this, and if you don't do that. No one's calling me and saying, Pastor Jimenez, we got a complaint from you. You use the word queer from the pulpit, and your church members didn't like it, and they called the director, and he said that if you don't knock it off, he's going to fire you. You don't think that happens? He says that if you don't knock it off, we're going to take away your retirement plan. You don't think that happens? Because that happens. No one's pulling the strings of every Baptist church. Here are the only strings that get pulled, the King James Bible. Because we believe in the biblical authority of God's Word. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. We believe in the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, not for salvation, but because of salvation. We believe that the Bible is inspired and preserved. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. So we have B, we have A, we have P, we have T, we have I. What's the next letter? S. You say, what makes you a Baptist church? 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. The Bible says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. Now notice this. This is God's desire for your life. I will dwell in them and walk in them. Is that not what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings? I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Doesn't that sound great? To just know that you are walking with God, that God is in you, and He is your God, and you are His people. And now notice, that sounds great, but see, here's what we want. We want that feel good. We want that God's with me. God's going to prosper me. God's going to bless me. I'm in Him. He's in me. He's my God. I'm His person. But you got to understand this. Along with that goes this. Wherefore, come out from among them. And He says, be ye, here's the S, separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, you say, what makes us a Baptist church? Not only do we believe in biblical authority, not only do we believe in the autonomy of the local church, not only do we believe in the priesthood of the believer, not only do we believe in two ordinances, not only do we believe in the inspiration and preservation of Scripture, but we also believe in a little word called separation. And today, a whole lot of churches want to preach about how God likes you and God loves you and God wants to walk with you and God wants to help you. And I'm all for that. Hey, we're preaching a whole series on that. God does love you and God does want to walk with you and God does want to be your God. But let me tell you something. God does not want to walk with you while you're walking in sin. And God does not want to walk with you while you're walking in filth. And God does not want to walk with you into the bar, or walk with you and watch a dirty movie, or walk with you and watch and look at pornography on the internet. God wants a separated people. He says, I want to walk with you. God doesn't want to walk with you in sin. He says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. God says, I want you to be separated. He said, I want you to be a different type of people. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We're almost done. We're running out of letters. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Notice this, a holy nation. This is my favorite description in this list. A peculiar people. You know what the word peculiar means if you look it up in the dictionary? It means this, unusual. It means this, strange. Now, we don't like that because we don't want anybody to say, you are an unusual individual. You are strange. But you know, God tells us that we, when this world looks at your life, and when this world looks at my life, and when the world walks into this church, they ought to say, whoa, this is different. This is unusual. This is peculiar. This music doesn't sound like the music that I'm used to. This preaching doesn't sound like the preaching. God wants to look, and when I say strange, I'm not talking about dressing weird. Okay? I'm talking about being holy and being separated. A peculiar people. Why? Notice what He says. That ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, how are you going to show the world that God called you out of darkness when you're living in the same darkness that the world is? You cannot be effective in showing the light to people when you're living in the same darkness. He says, look, God says, I called you out of darkness. God says, I'm walking with you and I'm walking in you. And if I'm going to walk in you and I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, He says, I need you to be separated. So we believe in separation. We believe that our music ought to be different than this world. We believe that the preaching ought to be different than what's known in this world. We believe that we ought to dress different. We ought to teach our kids to be clean. We ought to teach our young ladies to be chaste and to be pure. And to, you know, the world, we ought to just be the opposite of this world. Today, you know, the world teaches ladies that you got to be, you know, you just got to, you know, be like a man. Just put on a pair of pants and you take the lead and you take the role and you don't let that man tell you. And the Bible says that ladies are to be submissive. And you say, well, why would you preach that? That's not popular. Because the Bible is our authority. We got to start over. Because the Word of God is the authority. Today, you know, people are being taught, young people are being taught, you know, have a physical relationship before marriage. You know, you got to try it before you get married. And the Bible teaches the exact opposite. The Bible says to not fornicate. It says to flee fornication. And see, today, when you tell that to people, and today, when you explain to people that your goal is for your child, for your daughter, and for your son to walk down an aisle one day and to be virgin and to be pure and to be clean and to maybe to give their first kiss that they've ever had at the altar, today, people will look at that and say, that's weird. That's unusual. But that's what God wants you to do. That's how God wants you to be. We believe in separation. So we believe in biblical authority. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We believe in priesthood of the believer. We believe in two ordinances. We believe in the inspiration and preservation of Scripture. We believe in separation. We've got another T. We believe in two offices. Two offices. Let me show you this quickly. If you get back to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is the chapter that God kind of gives us. There's other passages in Titus, but in 1 Timothy 3, He gives us the qualifications of a pastor and of a deacon. And I'm not going to take the time to go through it tonight. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires the good work. Now, you got to understand this right off the bat. The Bible uses the word bishop, the word elder, and the word pastor interchangeably. It's the same word. It's the same position. Today, you know, people teach that. You know, somebody was telling me they went to some charismatic church, and they were like, okay, when you first get in there, you know, you're kind of stepping up into leadership, you know. First you become a deacon. Then you become, you know, the deacon answers to the elder. And the elder answers to the pastor. And the pastor answers to the bishop. You know, and then the bishop answers to the prophet, and the prophet to the apostle. They got this whole, like, structure, okay? The Bible doesn't teach that at all. A bishop, an elder, a pastor, it's the same position. You say, why does God use three different words? He uses three different words because it explains three different facets of the same job. Okay? The word elder has to do with maturity. Now, you know, some of you are looking at me and I'm thinking, well, what about maturity? Okay, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, let no man despise thy youth. So we know that spiritual maturity does not come with physical age. Spiritual maturity comes with, you know, are you walking with God? Do you know the Bible? Are you walking in a righteous living? You know, you can grow spiritually much faster than you can grow physically. And there are people that have been saved for a long time, but are still spiritual babies. People that have been saved for years and years and years and years and years, but they've never read the Bible cover to cover. They've never won a soul to Christ. They've never tried to pray or fast or try to become spiritual. So look, just being saved for a long time does not make you mature. But you can mature spiritually by growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we do understand this, that a pastor, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I won't take the time to read it, but he says the pastor should not be a novice. Say, what does the word novice mean? It just means a newbie. Someone who's new at this. Someone who doesn't know what the Bible says. They don't know what they believe. They don't know what the Bible teaches. And the word elder has to do with the word that they should be spiritually mature. So, you know, you can call a pastor an elder. You can call me an elder if you'd like. You know, usually Baptist churches, we like the title pastor, okay? But there's nothing wrong with the word elder. It just has to do with the maturity of the job of being a pastor. The word pastor has to do with the shepherding. So when you get a note from Pastor Jimenez or Mrs. Jimenez that says, hey, God bless you, been praying for you, or when we go and visit you at the hospital, or when we, you know, bring you cookies, or when we pray with you when you're struggling, or when we, whatever we, you know, do for you, say, you've never done anything for me. What you done for me lately? But when we do, that's that pastoral care. That's what the word pastor means. It means to shepherd. And then bishop has to do with the leadership, bishopric, with the administration and the ruling of the church. So it's just three different facets of the same job or the same individual, but the words are used interchangeably in Scripture. So he says, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. So one of the offices that we believe the church should have is bishops. The second office that a church would have, if you skip down to verse number 8, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, likewise must the deacons be grave, and not double-tongued, not giving too much wine, not greedy for the lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, and let them hold the office of a deacon, being found blameless. You see that? So you got the office of a bishop, you got the office of a deacon. So we believe that at Verity Baptist Church. There are two offices that are given to the church, and that is a deacon, and that is a pastor. And by the way, both of those have qualifications. You've got to meet certain qualifications. One of the problems that I have with a lot, you know, we have people show up here from different churches, and, you know, one guy just, he was, I think it was his first time here. And he's telling me how he just got divorced and got remarried a week ago or whatever and whatever. And then he says to me, you know, I was a deacon for 17 years. I saw myself in a gospel church. If you need a deacon, I'm available. I qualify. You're divorced. I was the husband of one wife. Okay. So, you know, today people, they don't care what the Bible says. They give titles to everyone. You're a bishop. You're an elder. You're a deacon. You're a prophet. But that's not what the Bible says. And you say, you know, do we believe in apostles? We believe that there was once a position, an office called an apostle, but there were qualifications to be an apostle. And the qualification was this: you were called by Jesus Christ himself. He called you an apostle. And Paul said that he was the last one to see Jesus Christ. No one had ever seen Jesus Christ. And anyone that tells you they've seen Jesus Christ since then was probably high. Okay? Jesus not appeared to anybody. Alright? The next time anyone sees Jesus is when we all see him coming in the clouds with power and great glory. So, you know, was there an office of an apostle? Yes, there was. But are there apostles today? No, they're not. So there's no apostles today, there's no prophets today, there's no priests today, there's no popes, there's no other, there's two offices, pastor, deacon. You know, what will be the leadership structure of every Baptist church as it grows? A pastor and deacons. Because that's what the Bible teaches. So we believe this: B, biblical authority. A, autonomy of the local church. P, priesthood of the believer. Am I? T, two ordinances. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. I, inspiration, preservation of Scripture. S, separation. T, two offices, pastor and deacon. But you got to keep this in mind, okay? I'm not the only Baptist here. There are some people here that are Baptists. And we are plural, Baptists, okay? So we add an extra S at the end of that. And you say, what makes us a Baptist church? Here's what makes us a Baptist church: soul winning. Go to Luke chapter number 19, just real quickly. Luke chapter 19, and we're almost done. Luke chapter number 19. You say, what makes you different from other churches? The fact that we actually go out, knock on doors, preach the gospel, and attempt to get people saved. Luke chapter number 19, and there's so many verses that we could go to prove soul winning, but let me just show you two out of the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 19, the Bible says this about Jesus Christ. Actually, Jesus Christ said this about himself. He said, for the Son of Man is come. Here's why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which was lost. He says, look, I came for two reasons. To seek, and once I've sought them, once I found them, then I'm here to save them because they were lost. So you say, Pastor Jimenez, what is the vision? You know, people like to ask me, what's the vision of Very Baptist Church? Here's the vision of Very Baptist Church: to seek and to save that which was lost. Because we were left to continue the ministry of reconciliation that Jesus Christ started. So we're just going to keep doing what he did. What did he do? He went out. He sent. We've been talking about it in the book of Matthew. He sent out 12 apostles, 12 disciples, two by two. Then later on, he sent 70, two by two. And then later on, he sent out 120. And he said, you know, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And we are connected to that. And our job is to be witnesses. And we're going to do it here in Sacramento. This is our Jerusalem. This is our Judea. And we're going to go out to the uttermost parts of the earth. But our job is to do what Jesus Christ did and just continue that till he comes to see and to save that which was lost. Amen. Now, how do we do that? Go to Luke chapter 14. Last verse I'll show you. Luke chapter 14. And I feel like a liberal today. I preach 35 minutes in the morning, 37 minutes at night. Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, this is a parable, but the parable illustrates for us, and by the way, this is not talking about bringing people into church, although of course we want to bring people to church, but the house that's being referred to is talking about heaven. And the Lord said unto his servants, and this is what he says to us, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. What is he telling them to do? He's saying, go out and seek and save that which was lost. So what makes us a Baptist church? We believe in soul winning. What makes us a Baptist church? We believe that it is our job to go out and preach the gospel, and it's not, you know, it's we can't make sure, we can't force people to get saved. We can't win everyone, but we can warn everyone. We can give them an opportunity to be able to receive Jesus Christ. So what you say, what makes us, what were the Baptist distinctives? What makes us different? Why are you a Baptist? Here's why we're Baptists. Biblical authority, autonomy of the local church, priesthood of the believer, two ordinances, inspiration and preservation of Scripture, separation, two offices, and of course, soul winning. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us Baptists. And by the way, those are things that are never going to change. The word Baptist is never going to come off the sign. And these distinctives, we're going to always be a soul-winning church. We're always going to teach separation. We're always going to have the Bible as the authority. We're always going to be independent. We're always going to believe the priesthood of the believer. These are things that make us the people we are, Baptists. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I know it was kind of a quick just overview, and there's so much more that could be said, and there's so much more that we could learn. But Father, I pray that you would help us to just be proud of the fact that we're Baptists, and we don't have a religion that was started by man. We don't have a founder. We're not like the Calvinists that can look at John Calvin as their founder. We're not like the Methodists that can look at John Wesley as their founders. We're not like the Lutherans that can look at Martin Luther as their founders. We're not like the Catholics that can look at Caesars as their founders. There is no man that started the Baptist Church. There has always been a remnant of believers. And if you follow our heritage, it'll take you back to the Sea of Galilee, to Jesus Christ Himself. Lord, help us to be proud of that. Help us to be proud of the fact of who we are and what we stand for. To not be ashamed of it. To not be tempted to change or to compromise. We love you, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen.